morning, everybody. Dennis Prager here. This is the Ultimate Issues Hour. Every week at this hour, I talk to you about some great issue of life, and today is another one, another example. It's unconditional love, of which I am not a devotee. Let me tell you about unconditional love, because I'm going to talk about it in four arenas: parents to children, spouses, people to God, and God to people. And let's see, well, I really got to people here, and then friends. Four areas of the question of unconditional love. I had actually never heard of the idea until I was well into my adulthood. I had actually not heard the concept. Isn't that, I must strike some of you as a bit odd, since for many of you listening, it has been such a prominent value in your life. And I don't say that with anything but respect. I'm merely giving you an interesting autobiographical piece of data. And I have come to respect the notion, but I don't think it's been thought through, and that's what I want to do with you this hour, thinking through the question of unconditional love. Now, let's define it first. I assume that unconditional love means that you love someone no matter what they do. That you love them, and now we even have to divide that question. Do you love them, or do you also show love to them? But if you love somebody and don't show love to them, then that's a bit odd. But unconditional means under all conditions, meaning no matter how they behave. I am not a devotee of this idea because I think it undermines personal responsibility. If I know that no matter how I will treat my parents, no matter how I will treat my child, no matter how I will treat my spouse, no matter how I will treat my friend, no matter how I will treat, quote-unquote, God, I will still get the same amount of love. Well, then, by golly, it seems to undermine the idea of personal responsibility and of consequences of behavior. If I told you, if you worked for me, and I told you, no matter how you do, you have an unconditional salary. How do you think workers would work in most cases if they received an unconditional salary? I assume that any of you who are advocates of unconditional love would argue that that's a bad idea. You give an unconditional, no matter, it doesn't matter how loud, you could even steal from the company. We will continue to employ you and continue to give you the same salary because at Prager Electronics, by golly, we pay unconditionally. You would think we're a little out of our minds at Prager Electronics, and we would probably foster an entire culture of thievery. Well, that strikes me as the consequences of unconditional love. Now, I fully understand that with regard to children, we almost can't help it. Because no matter what our kids do, we still have love for them. But do they experience our love no matter how they act? And I don't mean 5, 10-year-olds, but afterwards. No matter how a child acts, you still continue to shower the same degree of affection on them? I don't know. That's a tough one. The one vis-a-vis children is, to me, the toughest one. But in any other relationship, I mean, if a woman is battered by her husband, do you expect her to unconditionally love him? Why should there be unconditional love between spouses? Doesn't that foster irresponsible behavior? No matter how you treat me, I will continue to love you. Hello, I am a doormat. So where exactly would unconditional love play a role in life? Well, of course, the most obvious one is when people say that God loves us unconditionally. But that may be so, but it's still hard for me to believe. I've never quite gotten my intellectual arms around the idea that God loves Hitler and Mother Teresa the same. Mother Teresa devoted her life to the poor and the dying, and gave them dignity in their last weeks, days on Earth, and Hitler was responsible for the horrific, unspeakably cruel deaths of tens of millions of people. And I'm God, and I love them both the same. Maybe so, but I don't know what does that teach me about love? What does that teach me? Since I'm supposed to emulate God, then a divine trait is a trait that I'm supposed to have. So I must tell you, folks, for in every instance, in every one that I've enumerated, friends, spouses, parents, difficult question, and divine, it's a very problematic idea, and I don't know exactly where it arose. So that's my challenge to you, and whether you agree with me or not, as you know, is not critical. What is critical is that you have thought it through and that I have thought it through. Because we say these words, but I'm not sure that people really think them through. No matter how much bad you do, I will continue to love you. All righty, let's go to your calls here. And in Edina, Minnesota, it's John. Hi, John. Dennis Prager, thanks for calling.
Yes, Dennis, I think the concept of unconditional love, I think two things. Number one, I think only God can have that kind of love.
Right, but even with God, all right, fine. So
Wait.
Now here's the key. Wait. Two questions. One, can I want to parse your words here.
Okay.
Only God can, but let's use the word should. Should we try to?
Should we try to love unconditionally?
Yes.
No, I think we love. See, we love each other because God loves everyone unconditionally. So because God calls us to love everyone else, that's why we love.
All right, so wait. Well, the condition is God's love. I'm talking about the condition of, so you would argue that we should in fact try to emulate God and love.
Well, I'm saying that's not possible, obviously.
Well, I don't know if it's not possible. There are people who have actually, I am sure, there are people who have taken this to heart and loved their rapist or loved their torturer. I don't agree with you. I think there are people who have been able to do that.
Well, see, God, the thing, I think what you need to learn, what can be learned from God's unconditional love
is
that we can't earn it. See, there's
I'm for earning it.
Pardon me?
I admit I'm for earning it.
Okay, but I'm saying that God will love you even if you, no matter what you do, whether you try to earn it or
right.
if you're Mother Teresa or if you're
all right. Now, remember, you're not talking salvation. You're talking love.
Right, exactly.
Thank you. All right, I appreciate that a lot. I don't get it. I admit it, folks. This may be an example of just some theological differences, which is fine, too. But I don't want to talk theology. I love theology. I want to talk here reason, purely on rational grounds. I want to earn God's love. I hereby announce that on National American Radio and for my listeners who send me emails from around the world. I want to say in God, if I do horrifically cruel things deliberately to others, I don't see any reason on God's earth why you should continue to love me. Because I don't understand how you love the perpetrator and the victim identically. I don't get it. If somebody comes to my house and murders my family and God loves them and God loves me equally, no. I don't think you love me that much if you see me and my family slaughtered. And you love the slaughterer. I don't get it. But even putting aside God, because I don't want this whole hour to be on God. It's not. It's on unconditional love. Do you think it should be between friends? Do you think it should be between spouses? Do you think it should be a parent and child, a child to a parent? I am a big believer in earning. I don't mean every single day you are judged that, well, I love you today because you were good to me today, but I don't love you today because you weren't good. I don't mean that. But I think that there is a level of bad that ends love. We'll be back in a moment. 1-8-PRAGER-776. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. The Ultimate Issues Hour. This hour each week is devoted to some great question. The question today is unconditional love. I am not a big supporter of it. And I would love to know its origins. I don't know what its origins are, and I'm not just speaking about theologically, I'm speaking in general. When this idea, or I wonder if one could even find the term unconditional love earlier than 100 years ago. Well, maybe so. I do wonder about it. It would seem to me that there should be an element of consequence to behavior with regard to love. As I said earlier, imagine unconditional salary. If my company gave an unconditional salary to workers, what would happen to the work? And why shouldn't good people get more love than bad people? I don't get it. Doesn't that cheapen love? It makes love like an air conditioner. I think of unconditional love in the way I think of an air conditioning system. The air conditioner conditions the same for a bunch of terrorists as it does for a bunch of volunteers at a hospice. It just sends out the cold air, and that's it. But that's because an air conditioner is amoral. An air conditioner is not reacting to the decency of the people that it is cooling off. But love should. Why isn't love cheapened if it has no relationship to the goodness or badness of the people receiving it? And again, many of you were focused on God here, but that's only part of my focus. It's absolutely one part. In general, in life. And if we are not demanded to do so, then why would God be demanded to give unconditional love? And if God is a source of unconditional love, then we're supposed to emulate him. And I should show the same amount of love to everybody. All righty, 1-8-PRAGER-776. And let's go to Matt in Philadelphia. Hi, Matt. Dennis Prager.
Hi, Dennis. How are you doing?
Okay, thanks.
I believe that you've given what a lot of people would feel is a false definition for unconditional love, and that's why it's so easy to discredit it based on your definition. I would say the definition that a lot of people hold is unconditional love is wanting the best for somebody no matter what, whether they make good choices or poor, always being committed to doing everything you can to help them achieve their best. And that could even be applied to God and Hitler, even to the very end. God probably would have wanted him to repent, although he didn't force him to.
Well, wanting the best for everybody. Okay, so if...
And I don't mean, just in a passive way. I mean like in an active...
Okay, hold on. Let me just put it into terms that I could better understand. First, okay. Do you feel that is our ideal, our human ideal, or it's only true for God?
Oh, I believe it's true for God, and we aspire to
okay,
it.
Okay, we aspire. Okay. So tell me how that works itself out for you and the terrorists of 9/11. Do you love them?
I believe that it's my human failing, although understandable.
Right. So forget about failings. Tell me, you believe that you are required to love them.
I believe that yes, I'm required
okay.
to aspire to that, and I can still want them to be put under capital punishment.
Okay, then I don't understand. Since you want them killed and I want them killed,
right?
What is the difference between you saying you love them and I saying I don't love them?
Because I would like to think that in their last days that they would have a change of heart and that they would go to heaven despite everything they've done, even though they deserve. I mean, they
all right. So you all right? All right. So then we do differ because I hope they go to hell.
I understand.
And you don't. You hope they go to heaven.
I hope they would have a change of heart.
So you hope that as the planes were just about to enter the World Trade Center, they had a change of heart.
I believe there's different levels of heaven. I believe the person on the cross on the other side of Jesus, the one who repented at the last hour and the one who didn't repent, and Jesus turned to the one who repented and said, you will be with me in paradise this very day. Like, that's kind of how I look at it.
Like, all right. Matt, I appreciate it. You're quite eloquent for your case, and I appreciate that a lot. 1-8-PRAGER-776, and we go to Houston. Oh. Sarah seems to be a bit busy at this time. Sarah's the mother, I presume. Sarah?
Oh, hello. I'm sorry, Dennis.
No, don't worry about it. It makes the show very real.
Well, good. I'm glad about that. I'm just calling because I feel like you're confusing love with a complete lack of boundaries. And if you love someone, then you're not allowed to draw any kind of boundaries or remove your relationship from that person. I have a cousin-in-law that got hooked on drugs, left her four children, married her drug dealer, and she did horrible things, and I still love her very much, even though I do not associate with her, and I do not allow my children to.
Yeah, so you're talking purely on an emotional level because it's a relative.
Well, it is a relative. She's not a blood relative.
I know, I understand, but still, I mean, if you do you love the 9/11 terrorist?
Well, like the previous caller said, I do hope against hope that people like that will. I feel sorry for them, very sorry for them, and it's against our human nature to love as God does. But I do believe it's our obligation to try.
To try to love them.
Yes. And love, it
But I don't understand. You see, with the last caller, at least I saw the real life difference. He hopes they go to heaven, and I hope they go to hell. What do you hope?
I hope that they are justly punished for what they do.
Oh, so, all right, then you and I don't differ.
No. And I,
so your
I
love of them, been... your love of them has no real life distinction from my non-love of them.
Well, I think love equals consequences. You want justice for the person, even though you care about them. Like my children, I love my children. That is why I make them face consequences for their behavior.
Right. Okay, fair enough. All right, then, see, in such a case, to me, since, as I always say to you folks, it's not theory, but it's practice that I am much more interested in. Sarah and I have the exact same desires for the 9/11 hijackers, terrorists, and so if she says she loves them and I say I don't love them, it has no real-life consequence. So therefore, I have no problem with that. But then since there is no real-life consequence, what really does it mean? I love them, but I really do want them punished in the afterlife, which is a sophisticated way of saying hell. That's what hell is punished in an afterlife existence. I don't know why the term arose, and I don't know how critical it is to making a better society. I'm a big believer in earning a lot of things. I'm not talking here about salvation. It's a purely theological topic, and I'm not entering it. I'm talking here about love. We continue in a moment. You're listening to the Ultimate Issues Hour on The Dennis Prager Show. Hi, everybody. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show. This is the Ultimate Issues Hour, and I'm not aching to persuade you to my view on this. I'm aching to simply have everybody think the issue through, and you have made me think it through. It's not like it's a one-way deal here. And the issue on this hour of the Ultimate Issues Hour is unconditional love. I don't believe in it, and I think that it's been a bit stretched in its understanding, because when we say, well, I have unconditional love for the 9/11 terrorists, and I want what's best for them, and that may be punishment in hell, whereas someone else said, no, I hope that they repented at the last moment and went to heaven. See, I'm preoccupied with the people in the airplanes, the terror. I'm preoccupied with the people who had to jump from the 83rd floor, the suffering that they underwent, and the suffering of their loved ones thinking of Dad either burned alive or jumping from that height. That's what preoccupies me. And the people who deliberately, and utterly and totally deliberately, for sick, evil, perverse reasons did this, if I love them, then what is the verb that I should use for their victims? I love them too? So that's the reason that I emotionally and intellectually find the idea problematic. I know so many good people believe in it, so I hardly associate its belief with any moral defect. There may be a moral defect in me, but I cannot intellectually or morally or emotionally grasp it. Okay, so let's go to Chicago and Chad. Hello, Chad. Dennis Prager, thank you for calling.
Yes, hello, Dennis. Thank you for having me. You're making just a ton of category errors. I'm sorry. The practical example that you're looking for is best expressed, and I'm trying to be non-theological here, but as in spare the rod, spoil the child. The loving father who sees a child perform an act of cruelty will chastise that child to bring about a change that would be of the benefit. An act of not loving that child would be saying, yeah, boys will be boys, he can do what he wants, I really don't care. He allows that child to persist in their evil. He allows them to persist in...
Well, God does... Wait. But God does allow us to persist in our evil.
For a time.
No, for the whole time we're on earth.
Well, you know, once you start putting God into the equation, like...
Well, that's who you're referring... Isn't that... I'm sorry. I thought you were referring to that because you said theology.
You're trying to avoid theology.
Okay, so forget God. Okay, so the parent who doesn't discipline a child doesn't love the child. Fair enough.
That's right.
They may love the child and just not be a good parent. I mean, that's so...
That's a feeling.
Okay, so then... All right, fine. So what are we... You're speaking about love as in action?
As an extension of yourself.
Okay, fine. How does this apply? Fine. Okay, I said that with regard to a child. It's the one area I can accept unconditional love. So let's not talk... Huh?
A terrorist. A 9/11.
Yes, that's right. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't feel any love for these guys, okay? They're dead. They're gone. I have no capacity to express love to them because it's gone, all right? Let's say I know somebody is going to commit an act.
Okay, so where do you and I differ?
Well, what you're doing is you're saying there is no no such thing as unconditional love. The opposite.
No, I said that it may well exist between a parent and a child.
Okay. Unconditional love is something that you aspire to as opposed to unloving.
So that's where we differ. I don't aspire to it. You aspire to unconditionally love the terrorists of 9/11?
Well, they don't exist anymore, but if there was...
Okay,
somebody,
when Timothy McVeigh was alive, you aspired to love him?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, you're right. Okay. I had no such aspiration, or at least I know where we differ. I don't know why I need to aspire to it. So the truly wonderful human finally does, in fact, start to love Timothy McVeigh. Does he love Timothy McVeigh as much as he loves his child? Or is see, that's the other thing. Then isn't love... All right, we'll be back in a moment. I'm Dennis Prager. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show, the Ultimate Issues Hour. And this is a tough one, and so far not a single caller has agreed with me. Well, that could be par for the course, and it is okay. And you know, I so respect your views, especially in this matter. And I, by the way, I absolutely, in this case, I entertain the belief that I may be wrong. I entertain it all the time. I may be wrong, but in this instance, more so. And in many instances, I really think that I have come to a fairly clear and rationally and morally persuasive notion. And this one, I think so too, but I'm prepared to be changed here. I hope you are too, although my greater intention is to understand it, and that is the question of unconditional love. And I don't aspire to love the people who planned the 9/11 terror. I don't aspire to love them. In fact, I aspire to have them killed because I'm preoccupied with the suffering of their innocent victims. That's what preoccupies my morality and my emotions, the suffering of their innocent victims. And I just don't sit here thinking, oh, God, I really have to work on loving these people who blow up innocent people. I really have to work on that. And I have to work on getting them. That's really what I have to do. Anyway, thank you for the last call there, Chad, in Chicago. And let's go to Kelly in Minneapolis. Kelly, Dennis Prager, hi.
Hi, Dennis. Well, first I want to say that I love your show and you're a great inspiration.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Even when, like now, you don't agree with me.
Well, no, I may. I really think just what you said, you aspire to have the perpetrators of 9/11 killed. I think you can still love them unconditionally and aspire to have them killed. I think how you treat someone is different from having unconditional love.
Okay, that's where I guess I have the toughest time understanding. To me, behavior is a manifestation of feeling. I love you, let me kill you.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? So you want to do the same things to him that I want to do. I hate mm-hmm. them, you love them. What's the difference?
Well, it's just like my children. I sometimes will do things that may seem harsh to other people or even to my children.
Yes, but you don't want to kill them. You want to chastise them to make them better people.
Exactly. But I guess, you know, the way I feel about unconditional love is it is for the giver, not so much for the receiver.
Okay.
Just like forgiveness.
All right. Forgiveness, I'm going to do another Ultimate Issues Hour. Let's stick to this part. Why is it good for the giver? Why is it good for you to love them?
Well, I'm not saying it's easy.
I know that, and I appreciate that. I respect that. But why is it good for you?
Well, one of my favorite sayings is that you take on the strength of that which you overcome. And I always admire people that are able to overcome, you know, really serious offenses against them.
I agree with that. And on the personal and the micro, I completely agree with that, and I have tried to live it in my own life. Mm-hmm. I do not walk around hating anyone in my personal life. No, zero. But people who have done such horrific things to others, I can't square that idea that I need to have them punished and want them dead with I love them. So that's the area. Forgive me for letting you go, Kelly, is a great call. And let's go to was it Sarah, was that you I spoke to earlier?
No.
Oh, this is another Sarah. Okay, yeah, you don't have a crying baby, that's true.
No.
Hi, Sarah in Baltimore, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I think I'm going to maybe be one of the first people to agree with you. I think that if unconditional love exists, it has to include punishment.
But they say that too.
I don't really believe in it because I grew up without unconditional love, and I think it did me a lot of good. My mother said to me on many occasions, you know, if you do X, Y, and Z when I was a teenager, she said, I will take you to court and I will have you declared an emancipated minor. And there's
right.
a lot
did
of
you,
things I didn't
did
do.
You
because,
trans, did you translate that into she'll stop loving you?
You know, I didn't feel unloved. I think I would have felt more unloved if she just let me, you know, smoke and do whatever, you know, whatever all the other kids were doing. I would feel like she doesn't care. She put enough in the relationship account on other, you know, other times that I didn't feel unloved. But, like, I have a relative who gets drunk in bars, and she has a bunch of little kids, and she's getting divorced, and her mom is like, you know, she's my daughter, I still love her. My mother said to me, I want this to be a learning experience for you. If you do that, I will report you to social services. I will take your kids. I will find a way to wipe out all your accounts. Like,
Yeah, right. Although one could argue that that's the most loving thing she could do for you.
Yes.
So that's why it doesn't fully negate. It's a wonderful point that you raise, and I know, I have also said that. I said to my final remaining kid, if he were ever to be jailed, I would never try to intervene at one iota. I would let the justice process go exactly through it as if it were some other kid. And that's it. That parent should every parent should tell that to their kid. I will not bail you out if you get in trouble. That is unbelievably important in that way. But that's not a message if I don't love you. That's the message I will bail you out no matter what trouble you're in is a message I don't love you. That's the irony. Or if it's not that message, it's certainly a manifestation of not doing what's best for the child. My question remains, and we have one more segment here, is if you want the bad guys punished, and I want the bad guys punished, and if that punishment might even include after this life, call it hell or whatever, then what's the difference between loving them and not loving them, since we want the same things done to them? Back in a moment, Ultimate Issues Hour. Oh, boy, we could continue this for a long time, and I'd love to. We have such intelligent calls. 1-8-PRAY-WELL, I'm giving you, I shouldn't even give you the number. You won't be able to get it right now. It's the last segment. But please don't hang up. I want to summarize, because at least let me get some of those two. Leah in Woods Cross, Utah says, you can love the terrorists but not love their actions. You love the terrorist's soul. And let me continue here. Bill in Austin, Texas, psychologist Carl Rogers used the term unconditional positive regard back in the 50s. He's answering when it developed, this idea. Karen, Lakewood, California, hating someone doesn't harm the person you hate, it harms you. So you need to love everyone unconditionally for your own sake. It pains me. I wish I could talk to every one of you individually now, but at least I want to honor your sentiment. I don't know why it harms you. I don't know that at all. I think it does you harm to love, to just have some non-differentiating love just ooze out to everybody, no matter how they act. I don't know why it hurts you. So long as it's a moral response and not just an emotional one. Detroit, Michigan, Tony, love stems from values and conditions, and ultimate love is an oxymoron. Tony's the first person to agree, apparently. We had one other lady right in Baltimore, I think. Thomas in Covina, California, justice plus love are two different categories. Justice and love are two different categories. Ultimate love is active choice to accept someone for who they are regardless of what they do. Yes, and I don't accept people regardless of what they do. That's my whole point with the terrorists. Since they did what they did, I don't accept them. I reject them. In the micro life, you know, it could be somewhat different, but even there, I don't know, does a woman have to accept a husband who beats her? Regardless of what he does. Mark in Dallas, ultimate love is the consistent regard for person's well-being. You can punish someone for his own well-being. Okay, well, then the question arose again. Well, by the way, in that regard, I have argued that capital punishment is for the well-being of murderers. I think it concentrates the murderer's mind, unlike anything else, on what he has done. And actually can lead to some remorse, which would not have been felt had we allowed him to spend the rest of his life living. Well, the rest of his, well, that's a little silly. That's true for anybody, the rest of their life living. But the rest of their life without, and never execute them. I'd love to get your emails on this, even if I can't respond to every one. I'd love to see them through PragerRadio.com. In the meantime, I hope that we've all thought a second time on this very vexing question of unconditional love here on Dennis Prager, the Dennis Prager Show, the Ultimate Issues Hour.